This is Scott Reed, and I am joined this evening by
Mike Atchison
and Chad Schubert.
And this is the podcast for Campus Comics, which is located at, well, you know, we'll talk about that later. So maybe that will be an upcoming episode where we talk about what's going on with the shop. Maybe for episode 100. Who knows? But for now, if you want to reach out to Campus Comics, then you can do that through the store's Facebook page, or you can call Mike Noe at 618-457-6011. And this episode is time for our regular run through the previews catalog, so we can discuss what books you should be considering ordering and putting in your pre-orders with Mike at the shop. So you may have noticed that we've got a new voice on the podcast this episode. So, Shad, why don't you tell the two people that listen to this a little something about yourself?
Well, I also have another podcast called the IFNZ Podcast, and also am in a local band, acoustic rock band called the Can't Get Rights. I'm a comic book reader, digital, physical, trades. I like it all. More on the indie and horror side of things. But if I've got to pick between the DC or between the big two, I'm a DC guy for sure. I've kind of recently started a journey of kind of going through all of the kind of milestone comics and trying to, not the actual milestone comics, but all of the specific, like, important issues and trying to go backwards and listen to that. So I love recommendations, for things to check out. So.
All right, cool. Good deal. So, well, since you're a DC guy, why don't we just continue with the tradition and start with the DC catalog. So, I don't know, page one, the thing that we probably everybody knew was going to happen eventually, and we're sad to see it here, the crossover with Fortnite and DC Comics. So, we've got a 6-issue series where you get codes for skins inside of Fortnite, so... I'm well past my first person shooter days, so I have not played Fortnite, but I suppose this is something that would be of interest to a few people.
I am interested about that. There are some people that I know that play Fortnite, and I wonder what that crossover is. So I'm curious to watch what happens with that.
I'd like to think that I'd be more interested if this was a Batman Duke Nukem crossover, because I'm more of a 90s first person shooter guy. I even created a level for Duke Nukem way back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a whole nother story we'll talk about sometime. But yeah, Fortnite is like, I was over the hill whenever that came out.
Yeah. And I guess with this being 6 issues, and I assume that this is going to be weekly. Let's see, the last issue comes out July 6th. So I assume this is going to be weekly. I don't know, so every other week. So every other week is how this is going to come out. Yeah. So there's 6 codes, 1 for each issue. Then if you unlock all 6 codes, then you get a bonus new armored Batman Zero outfit. So, all right. Okay. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, so if you were wondering about Fortnite, here's your chance. So
nice.
So page 7, we got Infinite Frontier number 1, which continues from Infinite Frontier 0. And I do like seeing Darkseid on the cover of this issue. I don't know. What's everybody got to say about this one?
Well, I had it bookmarked because I'm interested in the resurrection, I guess you could call it that, or the reintroduction of some Earth 2 characters, and not just the Golden Age Alan Scott, which he's a whole new character now. He's aged. Looks like he's appropriately aged, not quite the 90-something years old he would probably be in real time. But more so, I'm interested in the former Infinity Inkers of Jade and Obsidian, his two children. Two of my favorite characters going back to the 80s. And they left a big gaping hole in DC whenever 52 came out. And I'm glad to see them back. I'm glad to see, you know, I'm glad to see Roy Harper's back. Whether there or not there's going to be a reasonable explanation to his more literal resurrection. And I'm trying to figure out who is the, on the cover of Infinite Frontier number one, who's the woman with the suit, the blonde hair, and
sunglasses.
The shades? Yeah. Is there any guess at all as to who that might be?
I don't know. I mean,
My first thought was the Johnny Thunder of Earth One or whatever it might be. I remember there was a miniseries that Roy Thomas wrote in the 80s that she was, it was J-O-N-N-I Thunder.
Right.
But then again, she does, she looks more FBI, Men in Black than, than actually a private eye. So, and plus the Earth 23, I think Superman, the one that's the president, I see him coming to more prominence because the word is, you know, he's going to be, his character is going to be played by, okay, I didn't prepare this in advance, but whatever the actor that played the bad guy in Black Panther.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I glanced at that character and I thought it might have been Black Canary, but yeah, with the shades and the suit, probably not. But you know, there's a lot of blonde characters in the DC universe, so it's kind of hard to say for sure. Yeah, and they list, you know, just about everybody else except for this one character, you
yeah.
know. So
yeah, the one you obviously can't figure out. Yeah, everybody else should be able to know. But I'm looking forward to it too, though. What do you think, Shad?
Yeah, I hadn't really messed with the Infinite Frontier Zero, but looking at this cover, I was like, maybe I should check this out. I like the way that it looks. I like the crossover of everything, so I'm in.
Well, Zero was more of a previews. It was more of a expose or introduction, little bitty stories that didn't have a whole lot of meat on the bones. This, I think, is being a 6-issue miniseries. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Because there's going to be an actual story to it. So with Darkseid as the antagonist, I bet it'll be good.
And are you excited about the return to the Secret Files on page 8?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, not as, it doesn't go far back enough for me to say that's nostalgic. It's more of my midlife. I did like Secret Files or Secret Origins and Secret Files and all that. But it's always good whenever, especially if you're going to try to explain a new version of a status quo. You know, DC's now in this infinite frontier era. Maybe it'll help explain some things. So I'm enough of a catalog. I like to catalog things and have everything in its place and a place for everything type of guy. So yeah, I'm good with it. I'm happy with that.
Cool. Yeah, it'll help for someone like me who has no idea what's going on with the history of those characters to just be able to pop in with that Secret Files and kind of go, oh, okay, that's who that is.
Yep.
Yeah, we're kind of spoiled because it used to be every issue, you know, editors would say, well, that could potentially be somebody's first issue. So they always had to give enough backstory about the characters so that the reader wouldn't feel lost. And that's not something that we see in modern comics.
No.
So it's definitely easy to get lost in these books. So I don't have anything till page 22. So whatever you guys got between now and page 22, go.
I'm at 21. What about you, Shed?
I'm very interested. I like the DC Pride books. They seem like they would be something that's going to be cool coming out of there. I really like anthology kind of short story books with a bunch of little pickup stories in there. So this seems like a big thing. I know this is everything coming out in June, so that's a Pride month. And I know Marvel's got a book as well that kind of ties into that. So any chance to kind of get a little light shown, kind of like the Secret Files, shine some light on some kind of off the beaten path characters and give us some story on, I think it'll be pretty cool. So I'm definitely picking that up.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's I didn't bookmark it, but I will probably get it because it's it does have some characters. Some of them we've known for a while that they've been out in whatever, like Batwoman and Midnighter and Apollo.
Yeah.
Renee Montoya. I think you got somewhat of an ambivalent relationship. I've never been really clear about Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
But then again, I always like, okay, do I really, is this something you should focus on, their sexuality or their orientation or anything like that? I don't know who that Flash character is, to be honest. But anyway, I think it's, like you said, it's a good way to learn about these characters. And it gives some fair representation to characters that are LGBTQ that don't get it, haven't gotten it ever before. So at least not to this degree.
Yeah.
And the timing's good with Alan Scott because, you know, even though in the Earth 2 era back in the New 52, that version was a younger Alan Scott and he came out as gay. But this is the actual in continuity Alan Scott that he actually came out to his kids. I seen a preview of the pages where he's talking to his son Todd and to Jade. So anyway, yeah.
Cool.
So 21.
21 is for me is Truth and Justice. I just again, because I'm sure it's the issue 5. I did start picking this up with, I got number 1 so far, and I just don't think I've actually gotten the other picked up the other issues yet, but I do have them ordered. The first one was Vixen, but this being the Pride Month, it's got Kate Kane, Batwoman. So Truth and Justice, again, it's like all of a sudden the companies are figuring out that some of the audience does like anthologies, you know, especially nowadays when continuity is less of a, whether it's less of a thing or it's just gotten so convoluted, it's too hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
A good one-off story is pretty, you know, it's pretty comfortable to read. It's pretty enjoyable. It is,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, just so we know, I'm going by the printed page numbers.
Oh, sorry.
So just FYI. Yeah. No, just so that we know.
I see that now.
We're going, I don't want us to get off just a little bit. So on printed page number 22, we've got Batman Reptilian number 1, written by Garth Ennis. So yes. Now I am not a huge Garth Ennis fan. He's had some really, really good stories and some really, really poor stories. We get what kind of looks like a variation of Killer Croc in here. So it's a monster for the dreams of monsters that they are kind of, you know, soliciting this as. And to me, the cover looks like, you know, Croc's eye. So I don't know if this is going to be a legacy, you know, villain for Killer Croc, or if that is Killer Croc and there's another villain in this issue. But it also is introducing a new villain. Mm-hmm. So here, Batman Reptilian number 1, and I guess, does it say if this is a, I guess this is just a one shot? They don't say ongoing or that it's a limited series, so.
It says book 1 on the cover, so I don't know if that indicates there'll be more or not, but that I like Liam Sharp. He's much better at as an artist than he is as a writer, but yeah, his art is really rich, I think. Very lush, especially when he inks his own pencils.
Yeah, I'm definitely in for this. I do like Garth Ennis as a writer, and any kind of Batman horror element always seems like I'm in for that, because Batman kind of shines in a cool story with a horror element in there.
Yeah, I just think about Ennis more on some of his Punisher stuff, and there was some he had some Punisher stuff that was just so out there that I just, you know, I just really couldn't, I didn't take it very well. Right. So, you know, but yeah, so he's kind of hit or miss for me, but this looks like it could be a hit. So,
you know, I might be off base. My memory might not be serving me well, but it seems like I've heard that he doesn't even really like superheroes. He thinks they're silly. I remember reading that or hearing about that before. That's why he typically wrote a lot of war stories, but when he does do a superhero, it's more of the anti-hero, or it's a parody.
Just look at The Boys, and that tells you everything you need to know about him.
Right.
Superheroes, so.
Right.
page 24, Batman, The Adventures Continue, Season 2.
Yes.
So we were saying all along that there needed to continue that Batman Adventures Continues series. So they listened to us, apparently. So we're getting the animated Dead Man and Court of Owls, so that looks pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the same creative team as well, with Alan Burnett, Paul Dini, Ty Templeman. So
yeah,
I had this one marked too. To I'll pick it up just because we did start a little tradition in reviewing Batman Adventures Continue. The only downside for me is maybe is warming up a bit on me, but Riley Rossmo, it's an acquired taste, and I haven't quite acquired it. So
it's just the cover art.
It is right, it is.
So yeah, so you don't have to look at the cover, just look at the inside. Now, this isn't being plugged as a digital first, though.
Yeah, you're right. It isn't.
So, I don't know. I wonder if that's going to still continue to be digital first, or if they're going to go straight to print with these. So, who knows? let's see. Next page. What's that?
Yeah, so I said next page for me.
All right, well, go ahead.
So, Checkmates, I didn't start reading. I didn't read the first incarnation of Checkmate, the one written by Paul Kupperberg. That came out in the 90s. It was sort of a sequel to the Vigilante series that we covered over the past, several episodes.
100 years.
Yeah, it seemed intolerably long, especially for Scott. And even I was like, oh, my gosh, we're dragging this out.
But it actually got better. So
it did. Yeah, but we're we do our podcast coverage like we do our collecting. We're completists. Once we start, we're not going to finish. But anyway, I knew about the 90s version. I never read it. But then in the early 2000s, when Greg Rucka came out with his series, I was 20 some issues long. Oh my gosh, it was marvelous. It had Jesus Saiz as on art, Rucka on story. Some of the best comics reading I've ever had. A lot of suspense, a lot of intrigue. So when they said that this Checkmate, well, it's the Event Leviathan colon Checkmate one. It's a 6-issue series written by Bendis. Alex Maleev, I think that's kind of comparable to the kind of art I like for this kind of story. Yeah, it's one of Bendis's favorite cohorts. Jury's still out on Bendis's writing. The Event Leviathan proper seemed to be, it sort of was anticlimactic, I thought, at the end. It didn't finish up as well as it started, but I like the characters that are being, that are in this. Everybody from Mr. Bones to the Kate Spencer Manhunter to Green Arrow, the Question. I don't know if that's the Vic Sage or if that's the Renee Montoya, and even a Robin. I don't know which Robin that is, but I definitely look forward to it. Oh, one thing before I end here, come on, DC Previews editors, spell Talia al Ghul correctly. It's not. they spelled it A-H. I don't know if you call it a middle name, but it's A-L. So
maybe this is a different character.
Oh yeah, okay, we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, but we do get a new character in this book, and I know it's Demon, but I always say when they spell it this way, I always pronounce it Damon, Damon Rose. So they're new character. Keep an eye out for that book.
That might be somebody's investment pick. You never know.
Might be. You know. then page 27, Green Arrow 80th anniversary. You know, I was looking at this. Didn't we do something for Green Arrow 80th, or did we skip that?
No, we did.
Okay, I thought we had. I just couldn't remember for sure. So
I can't remember which story I covered or what anybody covered.
I did Longbow Hunters. I did Longbow Hunt. So, did somebody do like Quiver?
Did you do Quiver? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because as soon as I said I'll do Quiver, I didn't realize at the time that it was 10 issues long. I had to read 10 issues.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's like, oh my gosh. It was such a good story, so I didn't mind rereading it. But yeah, are you a Green Arrow fan, Shed?
I am. I do like some Green Arrow for sure.
He's such a people's guy. If you go back to the 70s, he was my first like, this guy's a real person type character. You know, he smart aleck. He was kind of sometimes misogynistic or chauvinistic, but that was part of the 70s, you know, but he didn't put up with crap, and he was just a guy that was good at shooting a bow and arrow. So one of my favorite characters.
And I didn't do Longbow Hunters. I think I did was it year zero or year one where he's on the island?
That's Spencer or year one, I think.
Year one, yeah. That's actually what I did, not Longbow Hunters for that. Yeah. So anyway, not that anybody cares, but. And then page 30, the Nice House on the Lake. So, and after the success of Something is Killing the Children, it's kind of hard to ignore any horror style book that Tynan in the Fourth is going to be releasing. So, yeah, so this may be 12 issue series, may be something that you want to pay attention to coming out on DC's Black Label. Yeah,
Yeah, I'm in for that too. Absolutely. I like his work on the Something's Killing the Children and pretty much any of the superhero stuff he's done as well. He just seems all around a pretty well-rounded writer. So this horror stuff should be good.
Mm-hmm. My next thing's not till 37, printed page 37. So
mine's not until 45, printed page.
Go ahead.
All right. So we got Wonder Woman Black and Gold, speaking of anthology books. So we were getting a Wonder Woman anthology book, various writers, various artists. And gold is a good color to choose for the one extra color they're going to throw into these books. Yeah. So.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, I'm in for this. I really like the Batman Black and White series and how they handle that. So this seems like more goodness on that side of things. So I'll definitely be picking this up as well.
I still haven't read any of the Batman Black and White yet. I have it in my to-read pile, but this hasn't circulated at the top yet. So yeah. No, I think till 50, so.
Okay, well, mine's, I mean, it's normally I don't talk about a book that's halfway through its run, but Batman the Detective, issue 3 of 6, I don't know if I just never noticed this before, but it's written by Tom Taylor, and now I'm wondering why I didn't pick this up. I'm kind of Batmaned out, to be quite honest. I feel like he's oversaturated now, but hey, whatever sells the books and keeps the shops open and keeps the comics being made, whatever, that's great. But personally, I'm trying to be more of a discerning reader when it comes to Batman. And now I'm thinking, if Tom Taylor's writing this, I'm definitely, when this comes out in a trade, I'm going to pick it up. I'm not going to start buying individual issues now. But and plus, it's got Andy Kubert art and cover. So I bet that's really good. I don't know if any of you guys have seen. Oh, it's also introducing a new villain called Equilibrium. Another possible pick. It makes me think of Libra. You know, another... I don't know if you remember the villain Libra. He was main
from Marvel.
No, it was DC. Okay. He was the main baddie way back in the 70s before the Justice League. One of their stories under when Len Wein was writing, but he also was one of the main bad guys as far as the Earthbound heroes in Final Crisis. He's the one I think that he either did it or he got somebody to do it, stabbed the Martian Manhunter in the back. But anyway, he's one of those D-list villains that people forget about, but he's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So that I think the next thing I got is on physical page 50.
That's me too. So all right, you go ahead. Yeah. Kind of you're into the crime syndicate. So.
Oh, I like the idea. This is a universe, or it's an Earth, one of the parallel Earths. That even going back to the 60s, it was Earth-3. I don't know if it's still Earth-3. It's back to being Earth-3 now, but it's gone whatever, based on whatever status quo was at the time. It's just a separate universe where the bad guys on our Earth, the main Earth, are good, and the good guys are bad. So obviously your Justice League is the crime syndicate. And what I like is they are able to, over the years, they're able to expand on the characters. I mean, they've expanded from the original Owlman and Ultraman and Superwoman and Johnny Quick and Power Ring to other people. Like now they've got Atomica. They've got this new Green Lantern type bad guy called the Emerald Knight. So I like that it's a universe that's not really fully tapped into yet. And plus it's Andy Schmidt's got some pretty good writing creds. And Howard Porter on the cover. I know obviously who Kieran McCone is and Dexter Vines, but I can't picture their art in my mind. But I haven't read the first issue yet. I just have it ordered, but I'm looking forward to this is a good, I think it's a good series to get in this new incarnation of DC under Infinite Frontier.
Page 53, we get the final issue of Far Sector. So, and then, of course, what is it? Sojourner Millen?
They call her Joe for sure.
Yeah, Joe, yeah. But, so we'll mention her name here in just a few more pages.
I haven't picked this up, but I really wanted to. I know this, I kind of started to follow the Young Animal books when they all came out, but this was one that I didn't really pick up, but I'm now that it'll be collected, presumably in a trade afterwards, I think this is one I'll definitely hit. And I guess this is the final nail in Young Animal's kind of coffin there.
Yeah, it's DC has trouble keeping these separate imprints. Their imprints, you know. Yeah. I mean, Wonder Comics came and went. You know, Hill House Comics came and went. You know,
those were just the whims of creators that they really wanted to appease. I mean, yes. Between Bendis and what's his name, Joe Hill.
Yeah.
You know, that's. But the Young Animal, this doesn't even feel like a Young Animal book. It wasn't weird enough.
No, you're
right. It's not weird enough. I tried all of those. Oh my gosh, the Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. I wanted to poke my own eye out reading that because I just could not figure out what the heck was going on. But yeah, I'm really enjoying Far Sector, and it's so good. I guarantee they're going to bring her. In fact, I think there's some.
Yeah, page 55.
Oh, okay.
Page 55, she shows up in Green Lantern number 3. So in the Green Lantern proper book, Joe makes her way there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's got interesting. Her powers aren't your typical Green Lantern. The ring doesn't do it. Doesn't work the way you're used to. And she's just a good character. I mean, I don't know if you haven't read it yet. I definitely recommend you read it. The writer's an award-winning award-winning sci-fi author, N.K. Nemison, I think. But man, definitely recommend this.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I picked up a few copies of the first issue, so I just they're sitting. Yeah. 57. So we got Justice League issue 62 with a. Incredible surprise at the last page that we don't want to miss. So that's how they don't miss the shocking final page. But I guess based since they had the solicit for issue 63 and they're talking about the trial of Naomi, I assume that the final page has something to do with Naomi. And with it being a Bendis written book, that's not going to be a big surprise. So
yeah, right.
Yep. So. I just got a couple of trades left. So anything else? I got one more thing. I forgot 65. So anything before 65?
No, I'm past it.
On 64, that Represent number 1 is coming out. And I guess I wasn't really paying attention to this was a digital first book that's being collected for the first time. So a bunch of small stories brought together, 7 single issue digital first into an issue, a bunch of different perspectives, different voices on it seems like it's a big representation book, but I don't know if it doesn't seem like there's a lot of superhero content connected to it, but I'm interested to see what's up with that.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, I think they really only kind of talk about like one or two of the stories.
Exactly.
In an 80-page book, I mean, you know, there's got to be probably 8 to 10, you know, smaller stories in there. Yeah. We just look at the list of writers, right? They probably all have their own story. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So there's at least 7, you know. So yeah.
Curious to see what's up with that. I'm not sure.
65 Robin issue number 3. So we got another apparently a new League of Shadows character showing up in a mystery fighter trained by the League of Shadows, who's supposed to be Damian's number 1 competition. So here's likely to be another first appearance. So
what's everybody's who's your favorite Robin?
I would actually probably have to pick Damian Wayne just because he seems like the least whiny.
Yeah,
I'm a Carrie Kelly fan, just from the Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good pick. Yeah,
of everything. But Damian is good as well. From that would be my main pick if Carrie wasn't there.
Yeah, Damian's got a good personality. The writers on who's handled him for the most part have had a good grasp on him. I don't like the new outfit he's wearing that leans more toward his grandpa. You know, the weird kind of cape thing. And I don't really, but I definitely like his interaction with Jonathan Kent and just the way he's portrayed in the last 10, 15. Yeah, he's been around for a while. It's hard to believe that. Right. But yeah, he's a good character. And he's makes a lot of the other ones look pretty bland. And I know Dan would probably kick me in the knee if I said, you know, if he was around to hear me say this, but I think his Tim Drake is his favorite, I think. Mm. And I think he's the most boring by far. Anyway, sidetrack there.
Yeah. Well, I would probably take Tim Drake over Dick Grayson myself. So, but
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
89.
I'm on 88. I think if I can read this, I'm on Justice League Unlimited Girl Power. Is that it?
No, I'm on OMAC, so I don't know. I'm on printed page.
I'm one page. I'm one page before you. So,
okay.
You know, it's got that. It's kind of cool because it has that
New Frontier.
DC, the New Frontier look to it. But I've got two granddaughters, and this is one that caught my eye. I thought, oh, I'm definitely getting this for my oldest granddaughter. She's 6, going on 17. but every time I get a chance, I try to give her some exposure to comics, especially the ones that promote, women heroes and powerful women and good stuff, good image stuff. And so I'm going to get this for her without a doubt.
Hey, a book you should keep your eye out for. There's a series called Princeless. It's
okay.
From Action Labs. And the concept is that you have all these princesses who get tired of waiting for the princes to come rescue them. So they rescue themselves. So that might be something that empowering there. So you might think about that.
I'm going to jot that down. Thank you.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I've been reading The Dreaming Waking Hours, the Sandman universe, the one last piece of the Sandman universe hanging out.
Right.
I thought this was going to be ending soon, but it looks like there's no end in sight as far as this goes. But it's been a really good kind of in line with the Dreaming books from previously. And the story is real interesting about a nightmare that gets brought into the real world and trades places with the person that it is the nightmare for, and kind of what happens when a nightmare is in the real world. And it's not like a scary nightmare. It's kind of a more sensitive, kind of emo nightmare. So
there you go. I've never read a single issue of any of Gaiman's properties. I've always read them in trade.
Okay.
I haven't yet. Yeah, it's not like but to be honest, I can't. You should still have that reaction. I've only read about the three first trades of his run. I know it's good. It's just same reason we all have stacks of two-read piles. I've got bookshelves of books. I'm like, definitely going to get that. Someday I'm going to read it, you know. But that's one of them. I've got to get through his entire run of The Sandman.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only on like volume six or seven because I was reading them in trade, and then I started buying the trades, and I wanted all the trades to be the same. That way, when they're sitting on the shelf, and I haven't been able to match that next trade yet. So I haven't picked it up for quite a while. So I kind of stopped reading it, but yeah, it's good. So
sure. So what are you going to talk about OMAC here? That's a good, I can't believe I didn't bookmark this one.
Well, I just was going to mention it because this is a Kirby property that we haven't, I don't know how long it's been since it's been reprinted, you know. I'm not going to pick up this trade because actually this is one series that I do have all the individual issues of because it was only like what, 7 issues long. I think it wasn't a super long, series. So I do have all these issues, but if you're wanting to get a little bit of background and some Kirby, another version of the future for from Kirby, then OMAC, One Man Army Corps, would be something to consider. So, cool. And then my last thing for DC is on 96.
I think I'm, what am I on? 94.
I've shot my bolt. Yep.
Go ahead.
It's the Sweet Tooth Compendium. So it's the full collection of Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire, written and art by him. It looks like this is them kind of getting prepped out to go, hey, read this because the Netflix series is coming soon. But it's it hasn't been collected as one giant volume like this before, so Be a pretty cool one. I don't know how comfortable it'll be to read that book, kind of like the Walking Dead compendium. It's not really user friendly, I guess.
Yeah, 920 pages, yeah. So.
But it probably looks good on the shelf.
Oh yeah,
heck yeah.
And then I'm just going to mention The Last God hardcover, just for any RPG fans. Apparently, this comes with support material for RPG. So yeah, so you can apparently, you know, it's got maps, characters, and even music. You can kind of see the. I assume it's for piano, but they have a sheet of music there that you can bring into your campaign. So there you go. If you're looking for a ready-made adventure, you've got one right there. So
I didn't have this bookmarked. I passed it up originally on purpose, but I can't not comment on it now. But the idea that DC is wanting to brag about the new 52 with a 10th anniversary deluxe edition, I'm like, okie dokie, maybe there's a half a dozen people that really love the new 52. But anyway,
hey, there was some good stuff in
there. Was Demon Knights. You always talk about that. I'm going to pick those up. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed a few comics, like Animal Man. I enjoyed that. I think the premise, the idea was good. It just, they kind of threw out the baby with the bathwater and didn't mesh it with the previous continuity very well. And
that was the thing, is they said they were going to completely start over, except for Batman.
Right.
Oh yeah, and except for Green Lantern. Yeah, we're going to keep all the Green Lantern, Batman stuff, but everything else, we're starting over.
Right.
And
then
just created so many issues, you know. So. But there were a couple of good books out of there. So
there was.
On to Marvel.
Yeah. On to Marvel.
To Marvel. All right. So, page one. For the X Universe fans, looks like the next big X-Men event is going to be the Hellfire Gala. It's going to cross over all of the X books. Mm-hmm. This does make me wonder if we're going to start getting close to the end of Hickman's run, kind of spearheading things. If he's got, you know, if this is an event that is something that's planned towards the end, it doesn't really feel like the end, but, maybe it's kind of like one last thing before we get to the big end story. But I guess we'll talk about that a few pages in.
Have you been reading these Hickman X-Men books?
They are on. I read the House of X and Powers of, of 10. You know, those series I have not picked up very much since it switched over to just the regular monthly books. I typically enjoy Hickman's writing. So I don't really know why I haven't picked those up. I just haven't for some reason or another. So
I'm the same. I read the intro kind of issues as well, the Power of 10 and the House of X, and first couple of issues of the main X-Men book, the Hickman book. But I kind of wanted to follow along to everything, but it just seemed like a lot. Going right in.
If they had kept it to a couple of books, I think I would have been all in on it, but it just exploded too fast. You know, within 2 months, there's 8 or 10 monthly titles, and it was just way too much, way too much.
So. I don't know the full story, but the word was Hickman was going to, he always wanted to write the Legion of Superheroes, and it didn't happen. I don't know if somehow Bendis came over and did it before he had a chance to, but I would have loved to see him, kick that off with, you know, maybe a 20 or 30 issue run writing that book. I guess this Hellfire Gala, I like the promotional aspect of it. That's pretty cool. I don't know if I'll pick up any of this, but it's a big part of this catalog, I know.
Yeah, it is. So I guess the key takeaway here is that if you're reading the X books, you probably need to plan on picking up all the titles for this crossover. Sure. So
it looks like there's 12 of them.
Yes. So moving on to page 2 and 3, we got the final 3 issues of Heroes Reborn. So if you ever wanted to know what the Marvel Universe would look like if it was more like the DC Universe, because when you turn over to like page 4, you've got Luke Cage as Commissioner Gordon, and on page 5 you've got Gwen Stacy as Batgirl, and page 7 you have Punisher and Elektra in the Suicide Squad. So That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, so much so that I'm like, what is Wonder Woman on page, yeah, whatever page that is. Yeah. What is she doing in this Marvel catalog? And it's her and, or whatever the, that,
Power Princess.
Power Princess. Okay. she looks, I mean, she could be Wonder Woman. She could be Superwoman of the Earth 3, you know, the crime syndicate that we talked about. And then you've got, not Nightwing, Nighthawk. I mean, that's your Batman analog, but my goodness, that threw me off for a second. Looks cool as heck, though.
Yeah. But all that's going to tie into Heroes Return, which is listed at the bottom of page 3. So, yeah. And, you know, and these were not super well, those titles weren't super well received when they came out.
Yeah.
However many years ago. Originally, this is just really primarily a case of Marvel just wanting to apparently keep a trademark on those names. But but okay, so there you go. page 9. Anybody got anything for page 9 they want to talk about?
Nope.
All right, so Infinite Destinies, and you know this is not going to be a very big story because they're saying it's going to be the biggest story for the next 5 years. and it's in annuals, not even in regular issues, except for 2 issues of Black Cat. That seems like a odd place to start your yeah. biggest storyline for the next 5 years. But anyway, regardless, so if you want to know what the current status is of the Infinity, here they still call them stones because, you know, the cinematic's got to take over what was, you know, the gems from the original book. Are they from how they were originally, but now they were gems and then there were stones and what are they now? So we're going to learn about the fate of the Infinity Gems here in this Infinite Destinies series of 8 books, 6 annuals and 2 issues of Black Cat. So if I'm counting that right, what does it look like? 3, 4. Yeah. So, yep.
Scott, in Captain America Annual 1, is this character that's on the cover, I guess that's Overtime. Is that a new character or is it?
I have no idea.
Huh.
Yeah. I do not know about a lot of these characters because basically it's like every single issue is potentially a new character. I'm not familiar with Quantum in Iron Man Annual number 1. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with Overtime from Captain America in Annual number 1. Tiger Division from Black Cat Annual 1. Star in Spider-Man Annual 2. Okay. That's an existing character for sure. Then you've got a couple of Classified where they're not telling you. Amulet, I think, is also a character that came out of Ms. Marvel. And the Prince of Power, that one I'm not for sure about as well. So there's definite potential for lots of new characters here. So, but I am not for certain on any of them. I don't think Quantum is because he must have had something to do with Miles Morales previously.
Oh, okay.
But again, the other ones I just don't know. So.
Gotcha. Well, if you don't know, I guarantee I don't know.
Yeah. So the one that, you know, of course, I do think it's funny here on page 13 that because Giant Size X-Men was not big enough, now they have Planet Size X-Men. So, yes. So one up in, you know, that book. So which is part of this Hellfire Gala series that they are, you know, lots and lots of of issues. I mean, you got to flip how many pages to get to the end of that section. So,
right.
Yeah. So anyway, big crossover for the X-Men. If you're an X-Men, if you're into the X-Men, you got to pay attention to that one. So, my next thing's not until 32. Oh, that's not that far. So,
I'm up. You got something, Shad?
I think that's where I'm at too.
I'm at page 30. It's just the it's the Marvel version of the Pride Month representation. Marvel Pride. Of course, I'm looking at the PDF, so I have to scroll down to see the two-page spread here, but I've known for Phil Jimenez is one of my favorite artists, and I'm telling you, if you couldn't have picked a better person to draw these characters, if you wanted to pick a book just by looking at the image, I mean, his rendition of these characters here. You got Marvel Voices Pride 1, Wolverine 13, Marauders number 21, and X-Factor number 10, all by Phil Jimenez. And I would buy these books for the art alone, for the covers alone. So,
yeah.
Of course, it does say not final art, so maybe I'm one of those guys that gets duped. But anyway.
Shad, go ahead on 32.
So that's Predator number one. Is that right? That what you got?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure I'm on the right page.
Yeah.
So this is shortly after Marvel's taken over the Alien and the Predator license. I know Alien's on what, number four at this point? Mm-hmm. So Predator's issue one. I'm down to see what they've got to show with this. I'm not familiar with the team that's on there, but I'm always down for a good Predator story.
Yeah, Ed Brisson, that name sounds familiar. I couldn't specifically name anything that he's written, but that is a familiar name. My big surprise is that this is so far back in the catalog. You know, you would have thought that this would have been up towards the front.
They gotta sell that Hellfire Club.
I guess so, yeah. I just feel like this should have been, you know, earlier in the book. I wish they would have shown the Inyuk Lee cover and or the Ron Lim cover. We don't see those covers. Variant covers for this book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may not be remembering this correctly, but this, I don't know if this is actually going to come out when it's solicited here. I did hear something pretty recently that these were delayed, and I don't know if this in this catalog is the delayed schedule or if this was the original schedule and then it got delayed. So it may not be this, it may not be whenever it says it's coming out that we actually see this. And I was looking for the date, and I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see one either.
On the solicit, so I guess maybe they didn't know for sure whenever they put it in the catalog, because they didn't put a date. So, yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's weird. They don't have a date for these. But eventually, we will get Predator number one, and you'll have lots of variant issues or variant covers to choose from. Page 36, we've got Gamma Flight number 1 of 5. And this is perfect timing for Marvel since we did just review Immortal Hulk Volume 1.
Yep. So. I had that bookmarked as well. Yep.
So, and I like that this is written by, at least partly written by Al Ewing. So we know it's going to, you know, mm-hmm. play nice with Immortal Hulk. So I need to dig into this a little bit more. It's like, I don't know if Puck, I don't know that Puck has anything to do with actual gamma radiation unless they've modified his origin.
I don't know.
I guess that's just him just being, you know, Alpha Flight and then on to Gamma Flight and then the, you know, this current Gamma Flight. So
so they list Puck, Absorbing Man, Titania, Doc Sasquatch, and Dr. Charlene McGowan and a horribly changed Rick Jones as fugitives from every known authority. But a team that full of Gamma is bound to break before long. Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. I've always liked Absorbing Man. I've liked the idea of his power set.
Let's see. Page 40 is my next thing.
I don't have anything either until then.
Okay. All right, so Demon Days, Mariko number 1. This comes off on the tails of the Psylocke book by Peach Momoko. Mariko Yoshida, we just mentioned because when we reviewed the Wolverine limited series, she was a prominent character in that book. So now we're getting her; she's getting a solo story, so which is not something I expected to see from Marvel. So
right.
Then page 50 is my next thing.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right. So Amazing Spider-Man. Again, we got another crossover. I'm going to cross all the Spider-Man books. So we have the Chameleon Conspiracy. It's in Amazing Spider-Man 67, 68, 69. And then there's a giant size Chameleon Conspiracy number 1. So, okay. So maybe it's not going through all the Spider-Man books, just Amazing Spider-Man and a giant size. So not as many books as I thought initially. So, I guess I should have read that a little bit more closely. So, but we are getting 4 books for that story, you know, that month. 61 is my next thing.
I've got, oh yeah, I'm on 62. Go ahead.
Okay, so Captain America issue number 30. This is the final issue of the Ta-Nehisi Coates run on the series. The writing's been very, very good. The artwork has not been great, but the writing has been solid. This cover, I think, was originally solicited for like issue 24, 25, 26, 27, and people keep wondering, when's this cover going to make it? When's this cover going to make it? Now we learn why, because they've been saving it for his last issue as the writer on this book. So, so yeah.
Who's been the artist on it that wasn't really good?
You know, I'd have to go back. I mean, the artist that's listed here is Leonard Kirk.
I've always liked him.
I don't think that. I don't know. I had to go back and look at some of the issues individually and see. So I don't want to call somebody out and get the wrong name.
Sure.
So.
No, I just know him from, I think it was Justice Society or JSA. He did a lot of those issues, and that's where I first was exposed to him and really liked it. On the very next page, you have The Trials of Loki, Marvel Tales number 1, and it's written by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, very good writer. And it seems to be an anthology series that spotlights fan favorite characters. And looks like Loki's the first one. I don't know if it's going to have a theme beyond that, or if it's going to be, you know, if Loki's going to be prominent in future issues, but he's one of the best villains there are, there is, but yeah, I'm wanting to pick this up.
I'd second that for sure. Yeah. I'm in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of this is Marvel wanting to keep the name Marvel Tales, you know, keep that under trademark.
Well, it'd be really weird if DC had a comic called
Marvel. Yeah. Marvel Tales, yeah. Book. Yeah. Hey, you know, how long do other companies have Captain Marvel? So, you know.
Oh, and that's true, boy.
Yep. So there you go. So, so I tab switch out of my tab here. So my next thing is actually 63. So the very next page, okay. Immortal Hulk number 47. They finally, you know, hint that we're nearing the end with the countdown to the end blurb here on Immortal Hulk. And he's fighting the Avengers in New York City. So.
I hope Hawkeye's got one of those arrows.
No kidding. He needs to have it handy. So I don't see Hawkeye on this cover. So I see a lot of the other Avengers, but no Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Page 69.
Good on my end. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So Chip Czarski, they're calling this the issue that you cannot miss. For Daredevil 31, and you know, Marvel never does hyperbole, but with some of the things that Zdarsky's done recently on this book, maybe that is true, and maybe this is a book that we don't want to miss, you know, because he snuck in the, you know, Elektra Daredevil and stuck in a new sidekick for Elektra, so hey, maybe he's got something else big planned for issue 31, so I wouldn't, you know, dismiss this issue. That's for sure.
Sure.
74.
I think that's where I'm at too.
Okay, go ahead.
On 74, I've got the Star Wars High Republic number 6. Is that where? I think I'm a page off. I can't.
Yeah, you're 73. But that's good.
Okay. Yeah, it's Star Wars High Republic number 6. This has been fairly good. The High Republic stuff has. It started off kind of slow. It's their new kind of rebranding of what happened pre the prequels. It's been just slow getting to know the characters. The first couple issues just felt like we were pulling along, but I felt like by the end of issue 3 there was a pretty good cliffhanger that was like, okay, I'm in. I'll stick around for a little bit longer, so I'll definitely be checking out number 6 here. And it looks like Attack of the Hutts is what we've got, we got going on there. So we'll get some hut action in there.
So it'll be a little slow moving.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you want to say anything about the next page?
And then the next page, yeah, is the start of War of the Bounty Hunters, which is looks like it's their first big crossover event for this volume of the Star Wars books, the Dr. Aphra and Darth Vader and Star Wars main title and the Bounty Hunters title all kick off with this first Boba Fett book, but the War of the Bounty Hunters will cross over through all of that. Looks like they're all trying to fight to get Han Solo frozen in carbonite. So
Yeah, they had the alpha issue of this solicited last month. Mm. So, yeah, so it's definitely, if you're wanting to read that story, you just know you got to pick up a lot of books.
Yeah.
You know, to get that whole story. So,
I remember last month we bragged about the Steve McNiven art. It's just marvelous. It's fantastic.
I've been distracted trying to find the artist on some of the cat books, and there's been a couple of different artists. One is Jason Masters, and the other last name was Quinn. And it's obviously 1,000 times better than what I could do, but for a flagship book like this, I think they need to. Some of the action just kind of felt a little static. It's like instead of somebody felt like they were jumping, it's like they were floating in air. Just little nitpicks. So I think I'm done with Marvel.
I have to always be careful when I bookmark something in the moment. I'm like, well, I remember why I bookmarked this.
Yeah.
This was Wolverine Black, White, and Blood.
Yep.
Did you have something on that, Chad?
I had it flagged as well. Yeah.
You know what? I bet you're way more prepared than I am. So I'm going to happily hand this over to you.
Well, I've read the first couple issues of this and, it's been really good. I mean, obviously it's kind of in the same vein as the Batman Black and White and the Wonder Woman Black and Gold and all of that. But, I've been enjoying the different artists on the book and just getting to see those different, little tales that I think there's, three stories per issue kind of seems to be the run of that. So
right.
Getting the whole collection of, I think, is it five or six issues of it all kind of put together. It'll be a fun read just nonstop little stories, little six, seven, eight pagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another anthology. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
There's a trend there.
the last thing I have is on page, 106 in the book, and it's the John Walker U.S. Agent American Zealot trade paperback, and I've been reading this in the individual issues, and it's really been good. And I really didn't know much about John Walker. I know more now because I've been watching the Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yes.
But, well, that's nothing like the John Walker from the comics.
Really? Okay. Really? Right. Okay. That. Yeah. And I get that. I've noticed that already reading the comics and watching, but. Still, it's like all of a sudden I've gone all these years without knowing anything, and now I've got two different versions bouncing around in my head. But Priest is a good writer, and I've enjoyed it so far. I think I've got up to four, so I got the last one to read, and then this trade comes out. So highly recommend it to anybody. That's all for me.
Cool. That's all for me.
All right. So on to the big book. So just a reminder, your orders are ideally due by April 18th. So, and you usually have a few days after that, but if you can get any of your previews orders into Mike before April 18th, that would be ideal. He can be sure he gets you on a pull list and get you the books that you want to pre-order. Page 26, be sure you get your own copy of your previews catalog, because there are more things that we don't talk about in these books than what we do talk about.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then page 29, Free Comic Book Day. We're used to that being the first Saturday in May. Well, this year it's going to be August 14th. So I guess it's going to be the second Saturday in August. I don't know. Did anybody take a look at the at some of the books that potentially are going to be available for Free Comic Book Day?
I did. I didn't make any notes about any of them. I'd have, what page is that on again?
Starts on 29, and actually the first book printed on page 30. So,
okay.
I did see so we have Enter the House of Slaughter. So this is like a tie-in book for Something That's Killing the Children.
Oh,
It is reprint material, but it'd probably be something to check out. There are several books that have new material, and anytime there's new material, it's a book you probably want to keep an eye out on, because it could potentially be like an Umbrella Academy type book, you would be glad down the road that you'd pick that up. So like the Star Wars High Republic Adventures, which is an IW book, That's got all new material, all original material there. I don't know why Marvel can never get their act together and actually announce what they're going to put out.
Yeah.
Always these black boxes that just say Marvel. let's see, what was one of the other ones that jumped out at me? Oh, We Live. Where's that at? It's on the very first page.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From Aftershock Comics. So that's another one that has exclusive original material. Gloomhaven? Go ahead.
I noticed on page 33, there's a... I only noticed it because of this, the company that's putting it out. It's AWA Studios. That's the company that is putting out the book that we talked about last month, Marjorie Finnegan, The Time Traveling Thief.
Okay.
But I didn't know whether to say AWA or AWA or what, but anyway, I was looking it up on Comic Hub, and it's actually, it stands for Artists, Writers, and Artisans. So anyway, the book they're putting out here is The Resistance Uprising Number 1 with J. Michael Straczynski as the writer. Yep. And I haven't read anything by him in a long time.
Yeah, that is a reprint book because that book came out
a
while ago.
Okay. Oh, I see where it says reprint material. Okay.
Yeah. But that's fine. It is a book that I actually have in my, you know, in case something happens down the road with that, you know, pile.
Yeah. Right.
Gloomhaven, which is based off of a board game. So I guess they're expanding that universe for Gloomhaven. That's coming out from Source Point Press. There was what I thought was going to be a Viz Media book, which is going to be tied into Star Wars: The High Republic.
Yeah.
But that's not till August, and we'll talk about that story, Edge of Balance, later in the catalog. So, anything else jump out to anybody?
Nope, not out of that.
Not particularly.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll just go on. So on to Image.
Sure.
All right. I don't know. My first thing's on page 52.
Mine's on 50. Just, I've never read the Mark Millar Jupiter's Legacy, but this, I guess, is a sequel called Jupiter's Legacy Requiem.
Yeah.
I've always heard, it resonates. I've heard good things about it. So, of course, I'm not going to pick this up unless I read the first, series. But I really like Frank Quitely. I like him as an artist, and not that he's doing, I think he's doing the covers to some of the alternate covers, but I know he was involved in the original series. But it's something to pay attention to because Mark Millar is a pretty good writer. Not everybody likes him, but I like pretty well.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah, I've read the first couple of volumes of Jupiter's Legacy. I think when Frank Quitely dropped off the project, that's kind of when I dropped off.
Sure.
It was less interesting. His artwork is just so,
it
pulls you in.
It does. Oh, yes. Yeah, it does.
But I'm excited about the new show that's coming out on Netflix. And so I'm sure this kind of is why they're getting involved in this again. So
yeah, they want something on the stand. So that way if somebody walks into a shop is interested, there's something they can pick up. So
absolutely.
Page 52, Spawn Universe Number 1. Well, we knew it was going to happen, so here it is. McFarlane's expanding the Spawn Universe, so this almost, I don't know, maybe it's going to be almost an anthology-type book. We got stories here about Gunslinger Spawn and some new characters into the Spawn Universe. So if you can't get enough Spawn each month, well, now you can increase the amount of Spawn you get.
Yeah.
And we do get a few pages of art, so... no dialogue, just the art. So, 58.
Yep, that's where I'm at.
Go.
Only that it's. I notice it's Greg Rucka proudly presents. So, does he have his own line? Does he have an imprint? Does he have a creator own type control with this new character called Compass? Or is that the character or the title? I'm not sure, but. Anyway, Ruck is a really good creator, so...
Yeah, Compass is the title.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to butcher this name. Shahada El Amin is the character. This is intended for, young adults. I was just wondering, my first thought whenever I saw it, because they say they even mentioned Old Guard. I thought, well, maybe this is one of the Old Guards, one of their stories.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When you read it, they never say that. So I don't know. I think this might be a standalone.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just, Ruck is just putting his name on it.
Yeah. That means something.
Mm-hmm. I saw I have an image. You must have an image they want to talk about.
I got on page 60, the Jim Lives, the mystery of the lead singer from the Doors and the 27 Club. There's a couple of books later on too that kind of do this. It's just kind of filling in some random story with just some speculative or just creative writing into some nonfiction, and I dig that. Just something fun to go, oh, here's something that's just random, and nobody can say, well, that didn't happen. And you're like, no, it
could have happened.
It's fiction. Sure. You can do whatever you want.
Historical fiction.
It makes me think of the David Bowie book that was, I know it was advertised. I can't remember what.
Was that Guns for Hire?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He was a very unique creator. I mean, the guy was just he was amazing. And you have to really like his stuff, but talk about talent.
Yeah. I thought the artwork looked really interesting. The Ernesto Carbonati is the artist, and then the preview art looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got four pages, basically one, like, I assume that's a two-page spread, that lower one on page 81. Like. It's really, really good.
Just the way it's laid out is kind of not non-traditional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks really good. Anything else in Image?
I've got Ant number 12. I don't remember seeing this before, but the only thing caught my eye was the Golden Age Daredevil on the cover. I like a lot of especially the public domain Golden Age stuff that you can get on, is it the Head Comics Heritage Museum or whatever? It's just digital museum or something, but you can read some of the scans of these old books, and he's one of those characters. But it'd be, I guess somebody's picking him up, and I don't know if they're doing it because it's creator or it's public domain or what, but. Ant number 12.
Hey, we'll talk about Golden Age Daredevil later in this episode.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
That's all I've got until 90.
All right. Die 17. Don't forget about the book Die. That's good.
Well, that's the same. Yeah, I knew you were going to be on that page too, because I'm talking about Department of Truth number 10. I'm still reading it. Still good. Still enjoying it. And then right on that same page is one of your series that you always tout. Die. Die. Not die, 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 but die.
Die. Singular totally die. Story.
Yeah.
While we're talking about death, Deadly Class 47 is on the page right before that. That's been a pretty, pretty steady book with Rick Remender and Wes Craig. Always pick that one up. That's good.
That's been around for a bit. 47 issues.
Yeah. I thought it was going to go down a couple of different times, but he just tends to take some big, like, 6-month breaks in between storylines. So,
a la Saga.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So page 102, we've got another 6-issue series for Norse mythology. I bought the first issue of the first one and haven't read it yet.
I think I'm with you.
Yeah.
same boat.
Yeah. So, but written by Neil Gaiman and P. Craig Russell art, it definitely is pretty. So.
Yeah. I don't know why I haven't gotten any of this yet, but I should probably get the second series at least. Because that's right up my alley, you know, historical based fiction, and it's a comic. I mean, it's like got all the goodness of all different things I like.
Yeah.
My next thing is not till 132.
I got on 104 the Black Hammer Reborn, and Jeff Lemire has his own that world of Black Hammer, and I didn't hop on right at the first issue, and it seemed to expand pretty quickly. But this seems like a good hopping on point. If you've wanted to try out Black Hammer, then why not try it with Black Hammer Reborn?
Shad, you and I are of like mind on this. I thought the very same thing. You pretty much took the words out of my mouth. Is that I I kind of like fell off of Black Hammer. It just seemed like there were so many spinoffs, mm-hmm. and I'm like, ah, do I want to keep getting on? You know, there were some that were good, some that were really good. But when I seen this solicitation, I thought it's a 12-issue series, and it's a new story, and it's got Lemire writing it. It's not somebody else that he's picked to write it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to get it for the same reasons you said.
Yeah.
I'm up to I'm up to page 132, but only because I want to ask Scott about it.
Okay. Well, that's where I'm at. So it's 132. Printed okay, well page then, 132.
Yeah. Printed page 132. I just wanted to know if you're going to wear these pins when you get them.
I'm probably not going to order these pins for myself. Primarily just because, I don't really, want, a Jason Momoa, Duncan Idaho.
You're just not an accessories guy.
No. So plus I got burned on this, whenever Ender's Game came out, I got some of the dog tags and stuff like that.
Maybe we'll tell the listeners, this is the Dune. This is from, Dark Horse Comics in partnership with Legendary Entertainment. They're putting out some pins and magnets, in relation to the Dune movie that's coming out.
Yes, that should have been out last year and will come out on HBO Max in December of this year. Actually, that might have got moved up.
I think it's November now. I can't remember the exact date, but
yeah. But that I signed up for HBO Max and I will keep it at least until this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your first chance to really pick up some of the new Dune merchandise. So, if you want your Dave Bautista, well, they don't have any Dave Bautista Beast Ravon, but some of the other characters are here on some bookmarks and pins and buttons and such. So if you're just dying to get your hands on some Dune merchandise, there you go. So I just finished listening to Dune. I told myself I had to get through the book again this year, and I decided I'd just pick it up on Audible and mm-hmm. listen to it. Just finished it up a couple days ago. So
does it meet your
memory? I've read it three or four times.
Right.
So does
it hold up just as well?
Oh yeah, that is absolutely good. The best science fiction book ever written.
See, go ahead, Chad.
Is it just read in the Audible side? I just picked it up recently. I was curious if it was acted out at all. Or
it's a little dramatized.
Okay.
So yeah, they have different they have different voices, and I mean not a lot of they're not like a lot of special effects or anything like that. But it's a really really solid. I like it a lot. I don't like a lot of extra stuff mm-hmm. in a book. So
yeah, my Dune is the Stephen King Dark Tower.
Oh, okay.
that as far as liking, I mean, I read all the books, I listened to all the books. It was really sad when the guy that was reading most of the books, Frank Muller, he got into a bad, he was one of the best audiobook readers ever, but he was in a motorcycle accident and couldn't do it. I think he's passed since, but my goodness, you ever get a chance, I don't know if you've ever read the book, Shad, but if you like science fiction, it's sort of mixed. It's a mix of genres,
yeah.
Westerns and okay. So it's now some of the later books aren't as good, but the first three or four just marvelous. And listening to them on audiobook with Frank Muller is just a joy. So and we're not going to branch off into a audiobook podcast. So get back to topics now.
Anything else for Dark Horse?
No, I'm on IDW page 140.
Well, I've got 138.
Okay, go ahead.
You had 138.
I'm not till 155. So.
Okay, so I'm just going to mention this. I'm not a big Sonic the Hedgehog fan, never really played the games, but the character's been around for 30 years now. So they've got a 30th anniversary special. And one year, Mike ordered me a bunch of the Halloween Fest Sonic books. And I'd ask kids, you want, Miles Morales or Star Wars or Sonic? And man, Sonic were the first books gone. So there's still a lot of Sonic fans out there. So here you can celebrate Sonic's 30th anniversary. So let's see. I lost my list. 147. What do I have here? Nope, that's not right. Oh, okay. Somebody else talk while I figure out what page I'm supposed to be on.
I'll jump to 140, unless you have something, Shad.
No, go ahead. You're good.
Okay, this is by IDW, The Art of Pulp Fiction, an illustrated history of vintage paperbacks. Now, I've picked up a couple of these, and it's mostly based on the covers. And you can see why now. When you look at these painted covers, you know, these are books that would come out in the 20s and 30s. And whether the story is good or not, I just think it's a really cool thing. You can get these old things. They're very old, but they're very reasonably priced. Usually you can find them online pretty cheap. But this is a hardcover 240-page book that's selling for $49. And it even tells you, judge these books by their covers. So I think it's a cool thing to just look into the history of, you know, Pulp Fiction is sort of the predecessor to comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Even though comic strips were around in the 1800s, it was really Pulp Fiction that a lot of the earliest writers came from that genre. They cut their teeth on Pulp Fiction. So anyway, I think it's a cool thing to pick up if anybody wants to drop the change.
157 is my next thing.
Oh.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So anybody got anything for 157?
Quickly on 155, the Star Wars Adventures Weapon of the Jedi number 2 of 2. And I haven't picked up the first one yet because it's not out yet. But it looks like a cool story of just Luke Skywalker going through during his Red Squadron days, and I'd love another Luke Skywalker story.
I'm back. I actually had something else earmarked here on page 140. It was the page after what I was looking at. It was it's the Art of Rush, Serving a Life Sentence. Rush is one of my favorite bands, mm-hmm. Especially now that Neil Peart's gone. It's like this kind of like plucked all the heartstrings. You know, I don't know that I'll pick it up, but it's because it's $100. But it's really a big coffee table book that delves into the relationship of their 40-year been around for 40 years. And you know, there is a lot of their, if you listen to their songs, it's that you can tell the influence of the fantasy books that they read, fantasy science fiction, especially Neil. It would be intriguing, especially if you've got a good mix of love for both music and comics. So Shad, you should be the one talking about this, not me.
It caught my eye. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
I assume it's 12 by 12 for the size of, be comparable to the size of a record album.
Yeah,
it is.
Yep. All right. 157. Yep. Okay. So this just caught my eye for some reason. Read Only Memories. It is certified cool by the catalog this month, but it is actually based on a game, a cyberpunk game. And that's kind of one of my genres that I tend to kind of like, is cyberpunk. So I was surprised when I thought, well, there's a cyberpunk game called Read Only Memories. And it feels like it's an older game based on the style, but maybe that's deliberate. But if you buy this for $18, not only do you get the 120-page trade, but you also get a digital copy to download 2064 Read Only Memories, along which is the game that apparently this is based off of. So, hey, you get a twofer on this one.
Yeah, so, the artwork was real interesting on the cover, at least, and I was curious if the whole book was going to be kind of in that whatever bit artwork that is, because that would be way interesting to have some artwork like that in the whole book.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I'm probably going to pick this up, I think. So just to, or at least research and find the game online. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'd be on Steam, but who knows? All right. I don't have anything till 220.
I'm at 206. It's by Boom Studios, Basilisk number 1. Mm-hmm. And I don't know other than knowing the writer, Colin Bunn, I don't know anything about this, except what's being read here, but it sounds interesting. Who can stop the Chimera? Five individuals bound by a cult-like hive mind. They terrorized small towns with their horrifying supernatural sense-based powers, leaving death and destruction in their wake. So I don't know. It called out to me whenever I scanned through it. So I'm earmarking it for a possible pickup.
I agree. Yeah. The cover caught my eye. And Boom sometimes has some real interesting stuff come out of their, yeah, their neck of the woods. So. Yeah.
I'm good all the way up to 236, 237, around in there.
Okay. Well, 220 then, if nobody else wants to jump in before that. I have all these single issues for The Expanse. This is a tie-in comic to the season 5 of the Amazon series. So now that I think the last issue just came out within the last couple of weeks. So now that that's completed, I'll sit down and actually read that. But if you were waiting for the trade is being solicited, all four issues. Looks like it'll be coming out in August of 2021.
Okay.
And I got on 228, Jim Henson's The Storyteller Tricksters, 4 of 4. It's the final run of that version of The Storytellers. They do a different theme every so often. And this one is The Tricksters, and looks like Loki is going to be our focal point. So Thor's hammer's gone missing, and Loki might have something to do with that. So these
but
are
not
always...
that Loki and not that Thor.
Yes.
That's the thing about those characters. I just read a Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman Infinite Frontier. And I, by the way, it's the only Infinite Frontier book I've liked so far. I didn't like the Batman or the Superman really all that well. But this Wonder Woman is by, doggone it, Becky Cloonan and this guy named Conrad. And it's featuring some of those Asgardian heroes, Thor and whatever. Man, it's good. Okay. Anyway, DC sidebar. We're not in DC. We're in the big book. Up on 20 or 237, I think. It's not marked that way, but it talks about the Terry Moore's 2021 sketchbook. And you just forget just how great of an artist this guy is. I mean, I know it's all black and white pencils, but this guy can draw now. And I'm going to make it one of my life goals to read all of his stuff. I know, Scott, you're a big Rachel Rising fan. Mm-hmm. But I want to try to get through all his stuff someday, whether it's digitally or otherwise. But you just look at that page and tell me that's not something you want to read.
Yeah, I've read everything up to Strangers in Paradise 25, 20, shoot, whatever that number was. There was a series there. I haven't read that yet. I haven't read 5 years yet.
Motor Girl?
I've read everything. Yeah, I read Motor Girl.
Oh, that was up till, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So yeah, everything up until the, whatever it was, 10 years, however many years it was. I can't remember now off the top of my head. Gotcha. But yeah, Rachel Rising is still my favorite out of all those. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually solicited on page 238 of the catalog. I was looking at the big one page advertisement, but.
Yep, along with Serial Number 5, which is another series I haven't started reading yet, but I need to feel like I need to read the other ones first. So 242 from Aftershock. We got Out of Body Number 1, written by Peter Milligan. I know Peter Milligan has a bit of a following because of his work on X-Factor and Ecstatics. So if you're, you know, have been looking to get some more Peter Milligan in your life, it is a featured item here in the catalog. So he's known for his writing chops, so it could be really, really good.
Right after that is on 244 is Bunny Mask Number 1. Paul Tobin's writing that, who did Colder. So a horror series there. The artwork looks really interesting. That Andrea Moody artwork there, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Jeff Lemire's type artwork. Has a Charlie Adler variant cover of Walking Dead fame. So
yeah, very very creepy looking.
Yeah, a little weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where's my next thing? Oh, I didn't even put down the page number. I'm about to flip for a little bit until I find my next thing. It's in Black Mask. So if you got anything before like 270,
I'm on page 253.
Go ahead.
It's also out of, or it's after out of Aftershock Comics. The page just talks about Adam Glass Spotlight. I know he was a writer on the Teen Titans for a while, and it's the epic adventures of the Rough Riders. They're sort of a turn of the century American history they look like basically cowboys or whatever, turn of the between the 19th and 20th centuries. And that's the kind of era I really like. And I have no idea what it would be like or if it'd, I'd really enjoy it, but I would like to see what maybe one of these. I'd probably just pick up the first the trade paperback, you know, volume one, just to see if it, without having too much of an investment.
262 is my next thing. Or no, 282 is my next thing.
I think you're good on my end.
Oh, okay. All right. So Everfrost, number one. This is kind of like a sci-fi sword and fantasy type book. But what kind of caught my eye was that it is the artist from Abbott. So when we reviewed Abbott, we you know, some of the art was definitely the artist really kind of caught our eye on a few things. So hey, I think I'm in on this just on the art alone. So the cover was enough to catch my eye, and whenever I read, you know, that they had also been the artist on Abbott, I think I'm in. So sword and sorcery in a more sci-fi setting. If that sounds good to you, here you go. You got a winner.
That was on page what, 282?
282, yep.
Okay.
I got 284.
Okay, go.
Blue Juice Comics is putting out Anne Bonny number 11. I've kind of followed Blue Juice Comics. They had a series I really dug for a while that pops up every so often, the Accelerators. And this is kind of their second book when they started up their publishing company. This is a female pirate that kind of falls into her she was, I think, a princess, if I remember right, from the very beginning, and realizes that she has some ancestry within the pirate world, and that's her true calling, is to be a pirate. So there's these antics with this little pirate girl, and the world isn't as it's piratey. So it's not as little girl. So it's always been an interesting read. So Anne Bonny 11 is on there.
I'm up to 316.
Okay, well, 290. I'm just mentioning this because I don't know if this has been done before and I've just missed them or what. But we have Clover Press, who the only thing that they have solicited are they're doing variant covers for Marvel books, which seems odd to me. But yeah, but they've got a Kevin Eastman Deadpool and an X-Men number one Deadpool. Our X-Men number one variant by Kevin Eastman and a Juggernaut number one variant by Sam Keith. So it's like, why aren't these guys doing the variants for the regular books at Marvel? I don't know. I had never noticed this before. They're a little pricey. You get four for $50. But they also have a black and white variant for X-Men Legends number one, Sam Keith. And for $50, you can pick it up signed by Sam Keith. So. I don't know. I hadn't noticed that before. Don't know if this is the first time something like that's been in the catalog or if I've just missed them all along. So,
yeah, I don't know.
What'd you say? What page you say?
316.
Mike? Okay, well, 305. You got anything for 305, Shad?
No, 378 is my next one.
Okay, well, we have, I think this is the first solicit for the next Overstreet Comic Price Guide. We got a couple of covers here for the regular size book. The first one, you've got a Daredevil and Echo cover by David Mack, which is excellent. And then there's also a Static and Hardware cover is the second cover. And then they have the big book, which I wish they put the Daredevil and Echo on the big book. But you have the Golden Age Daredevil as the cover the big book. So this is coming out in July. It's going to be square bound. I really, really want a spiral bound version of that oversized price guide, but I don't know. I guess beggars can't be choosers. So, but yeah, you can pick up your next price guide if you need an update. It's coming in July.
I try to do it get a new one every 5 years.
Yeah. I just get one whenever I just feel like I need one. I don't know.
Right. Whatever the mood hits you.
Yeah. Huh? If I look up, if I'm at a convention and I look up, try to look up something and I don't have it in that one because it's too recent, then it's time to get a new guide.
Sure. So on 316, are you good till then or?
Yep.
Okay. It's called out to me because I graduated in 1984. So this is the George Orwell novel that's the graphic novel rendition of it. a hardcover, and it's like it says, it's one of the most influential books of the 20th century. Obviously, me being in that class, that was mandatory reading whenever I was, I think, a freshman even. And I'm telling you what, I was like kind of freaked out as a freshman about this whole, you know, Big Brother state and the totalitarian and all that stuff. And but I want to get this just because of that. That's the nostalgia of that, and I want to see what it looks like in a graphic novel.
Yeah.
342 is my next thing. Anybody?
I'm good.
All right, yeah, so John and the Impossible Monsters. This is the Chris Somney and Laura Somney series that's coming out from Oni Press. So they are now soliciting the first trade. That won't be out till August 18th. And on the next page, they've actually got the fourth issue of the series solicited, which will be out June 2nd. Haven't actually got around to reading this yet. I know the first issue is out, and I've got it somewhere over there to read. But, you know, this is Chris Somney's first creator owned. So I'm assuming it's going to be really, really good. Then my next thing's on 401.
I've got one on 366. It's by Titan Comics, the Marvel Comics, Captain America, the first 80 years. I thought of you when I seen this, Scott. It looks like it's just a collection of covers and comic art and behind the scene facts. Looks interesting. He's got all kinds. He's got different. You got a newsstand version, an exclusive version. But anyway, it 20 bucks isn't much. It's for 192, almost 200 pages of content. That looks like some fun to me.
You know what? I saw you know, the reason why I didn't actually mention this, because I saw that blue box in the middle there where it said offered again. And I thought that this had been solicited before. And no, it was actually Marvel Comics, the first 80 years that had been solicited before. Not this book that had been solicited before. So that's why I didn't even mention it. Thought I'd just be repeating myself. So, anything else before 401?
No, I got 378. Vault Comics has got a book called Heavy that's out. It's issue 8 is what's solicited. It's Max Bemis is the writer. He's, if anybody knows the band Say Anything, he's the singer, guitar player, songwriter from that band. And he also has done Evil Empire for Boom, and he did Fool Killer and some other things like that. This has been pretty interesting. It's a story of kind of purgatory, but you're not just in a purgatory waiting. You get stuck in this middle area. And you get assigned jobs to work your way either to heaven or hell through it. And a heavy is a kind of a hitman for alternate realities. You've got to kind of control all the realities as a heavy. And so the main character is one of those killers. So it's been a pretty interesting read.
So this caught your eye because of the writer. You knew the writer was also a musician. And that's because I mean, otherwise you wouldn't know. You wouldn't think.
Oh, absolutely.
You wouldn't even. Yeah, that does look. I like the idea of all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 401.
401.
All right. So for the first time ever on this podcast, I'm going to talk about something out of the manga section. and I would not have even noticed it except for I caught the image on the actual first page, because I normally just see that maroon in the catalog and flip to the next section. But on that first page, there's a solicit here for Fist of the North Star. And I remember buying this book off the shelf at Campus Comics when it was down on the strip. I still actually have all 8 issues in my collection, so I probably won't be buying this. But if you are into apocalyptic martial arts, this is an excellent story. And it's actually on page 401. So, I was buying it whenever it had been brought over by Viz in the, gosh, the 80s. And now it's out in, you know, new edition of it. So, hey, if you want some martial arts, this is the book to read. And because I actually just flipped over to the next page, and here on page 403, we have part of that High Republic, Star Wars The High Republic, mm-hmm. The Edge of Balance. So I was originally going to really, really push that Free Comic Book Day Edge of Balance from Viz Media. But this will be out before that Free Comic Book Day is going to be out. So this is probably something, if you're a Star Wars fan, you probably want to seriously think about picking this up.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if it is actually a comic or if it's prose, and it doesn't say prose any place. So I assume it is an actual graphic novel. So
So
if Star Wars manga is your thing, then you've got a book coming, another book coming. So, mm-hmm. And I will now leave the manga section. Because that's a first.
I think that's the only thing I had in there was the Star Wars book.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add on that?
Nope. No, it doesn't look like there's much information about it. There's not even a synopsis or anything, so they're kind of just leaving it wide open. So.
They're pushing the cross-publisher initiative, so right. It's weird. It's weird seeing Marvel and IDW and Viz Media of all being part of this, you know, part of this push for the High Republic. So I think I'm done with side one, unless anybody's got anything in peril.
Nope.
All right, flipping the book. Side two. My only thing on side two is on page 116. So whatever everybody has, just go.
I have nothing.
Okay.
Sorry.
The only thing I saw was on page 44 is the Nerf Star Wars Mandalorian Phase Pulse Blaster, which with the little pink on it reminds me of a little bit more of the color scheme of the animated the Boba Fett special. Cartoon from the Christmas special more than it does actually from Mandalorian because it's Nerf.
Oh wow!
But I think that's all I had on here.
Okay, so the only thing I had is on 116. They were releasing a second edition of a board game called Gravwell. This is it's the premise of the game is that you and the other players are trapped in a black hole. You're trying to escape the black hole and you're using the gravity that's generated by the other ships and a couple of derelict ships that are inside of this black hole. And you're basically playing cards and you can end up being pushed closer or farther away, depending on how the order of the cards getting played. But I thought it was pretty enjoyable. So they've got an updated edition. So if you're looking for a game to play, that's something to think about. So
yeah,
that's it for me.
All right.
Well, Mike, what book are you looking forward to most, out of these?
I'm looking forward to, the Green Arrow 80th anniversary. I know that surprises you, but that's the one that there's a couple other ones whether it be Crime Syndicate or Checkmate, I could say any of those, but you know, these 80th anniversary, if they don't overdo it and do it, you know, do anniversary things too much, I won't be burned out. But that's what I'm looking forward to when it comes to my personal preference.
Shad, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I think I'm most looking forward to the Bounty Hunter Wars, the Star Wars crossover event. Seems like I'm a little behind on all of that, so this seems like the incentive to get my butt hurrying up to getting caught up to everything a little bit there.
Did you pre-order the Alpha book that was solicited last month?
I did not.
Okay, so there's an Alpha book last month that you need to try to, you know, track down. So yeah. So you might check with Mike, see if he maybe ordered a couple extras.
Absolutely.
Have him put one back for you. So yeah. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say Captain America issue number 30. I have enjoyed the Ta-Nehisi Coates run. So I kind of hate to see it. So maybe I'm not looking forward to that final issue, but I assume it's gonna wrap up with, you know, everything that he wanted to say in that story is kind of probably come to head in that issue. So so yeah, that's probably the book for me. So. All right, Mike, what should people be picking up an extra copy of, you know,
Batman, the Detective number 3 of 6, it's featuring a new villain. It's Libra's little brother, Equilibrium.
Okay.
So I made up the part about being Libra's little brother.
Wouldn't it be funny if that were true though?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Shad, what about you? You got an idea, something that might be worth picking up a couple extra copies of?
I got the same kind of mentality, I think, as Mike does on this. I was looking at the Batman Reptilian, also is featuring a new villain, and was kind of thinking the same thing, that maybe there's going to be something cool in there. Who knows?
Good. Well, I'm going to go with that Viz Media Star Wars High Republic Edge of Balance, because with that being not from even, because IDW is like a second tier publisher, and mm-hmm. I don't know, Viz Media is like a fourth or fifth tier publisher. Of course, I'm insulting everybody who loves the Viz Media stuff. I just don't expect there to be a whole lot of copies of that, especially the first print out there. And if there's even a hint of a new character, and I can't imagine with the manga spin on it that there wouldn't be a new character. And then as soon as there's a rumor that that character is going to pop up in a Disney show, that book will just skyrocket. Yeah. So I'm definitely picking up a few extra copies of that High Republic Edge of Balance. So. All right, so I guess that wraps it up for us. All right, so Mike, if somebody wanted to contact you online, can you list that, all of those social media, all that social media presence that you have?
Sure. I'm so antiquated. I have a Twitter account, but, do I use it? No. But it's Mike Atchison 5 on Twitter, if you so choose to somehow get a hold of me. Or like I've said before, if you want to go through the Campus Comics Facebook page, and I don't have an open Facebook page just because of my job. So, there are ways. We have our ways.
Shad, what about you?
You can find me at Shad Schubert on everything across the board, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And all that jazz. So
should you spell that for the listener?
Absolutely. That's SHAADSCHUBERT.
All right. I'm Scott Reed. You can find me at burgcomics.com, burgcomics.com. That has links to all my Facebook and Instagram and my eBay store and all of that fun stuff. And of course, if anything that we mentioned in this catalog piqued your interest, then be sure to reach out to Mike Noe at Campus Comics. The best way now would be through the Facebook page, just search for Campus Comics, or you can call Mike at the store, 618-457-6011, and we'll have additional information about the store in an upcoming episode, hint, hint, episode 100, which is next. And of course, get those pre-orders in, and those orders are due ideally by April 18th. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
And that's a wrap.
And that's a wrap.
Never mind. I usually leave a recording for a minute or two in case Mike says something really dumb. So I can pin that on as a stinger at the end.
I give him a lot of content. That way. He finds a lot of stuff that I say that,